Hey, it's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, and Brady Quinn. And coming up on the show, what a game we got to kick off the NFL season. The Bucks beat the Cowboys, but did you come away more impressed with Dallas? Also, Dak Prescott. Somebody on this show was dead wrong about his performance in week one. We'll get into all of that here. We're going to take a look at a snake bit organization in the AFC. We're going to look at a big-time contract handed out for an all-pro. We've got Animal Thunderdome and the great Joel Klatt stops by. All of that coming up next here. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, man, where to start? What a game. We will get into all of it coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. It's Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, and Brady Quinn with you here and on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, wherever you are, making us a part of your Friday morning. Welcome to the first Football Friday of the NFL season as we take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. And boys, I mean, what a game. That is how it's done. That is how it's done in the middle of things like the U.S. Open and Major League Baseball. The NFL walks in, grabs its crotch, and says, that's how you put on a sporting event. My God, what a game. I'm into it, man. That was a hell of a game. Fun stuff, man.
I wasn't sure what to expect. After week one of college football was fantastic, I wasn't sure what to expect. And I got to be honest with you, it did not disappoint.
Unbelievable.
It had everything you were looking for, whether it was the big time plays, whether it was good defense at times, maybe some drama, right? The Chris Godwin fumble, which there's probably some people who are on the Bucks side that choked on their cigarette walking around a casino somewhere. And then, of course, you've got the ending, which there might have been some controversy in that. Like, I think depending on who you were rooting for, maybe if you had the Dallas Cowboys money line, you were probably pretty upset with how the last few plays worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a push-off, correct?
It was.
Yeah. I mean,
I will say this. When they're battling, that you could clearly see the defender's arm sliding off of his body. He was making contact. They were fighting for position. So generally, you'd have to assume that it could be by interpretation when you see, you know, position like kind of jockeying or kind of jousting or whatever it may be that they use as the word. But it could have gone either way. It could have been a no call. It could have been a call. It could have been a call on the defender.
Yeah.
You know, but it is what it is. I mean,
so I think any time you've got a ball where a guy's coming back to it, I think it's always more subject to look like an offensive player pushes off, because a defensive player is always reactive. Mm-hmm. They don't know what route the guy's running. And so as the wide receiver goes to break down, come back to the football, if they're tied up, there's always going to be that momentum that carries with the defender where it's going to look worse than it actually is. Now, if they were both running downfield and then you see that sort of separation as the offensive player goes to catch it, that's when, to me, because they're both going the same direction, their momentum's going the same direction, mm-hmm. That's where when you see that separation, you go, okay, hold on for a second. It would have taken a lot for him to push off, separate himself to gain the advantage. In this case, like, I didn't see that so much as a push-off, only because if it gets called, it takes both arms extending, which it didn't. At most, you had one. And I don't even know that his – I forget, maybe it was his left arm. I'm trying to go back through my mind. But It looked like one arm maybe started to, but I just don't think you make that call in that circumstance as close and tight and as physical, as you just said, LeVar, as it was the entire time.
And, yeah. And also, I mean, that defender really tried to buy the call. I mean, if you look, he sort of threw his head back, tried to get the call if he could.
He pulled out his jock strap. He left it out there in the field. Did you see that?
Listen, that's what you do if you're trying to buy a call there. Now, that being said, and it was the left arm. We're looking at the replay right now. LeVar and I have got the all-22s on in the studio here.
That's weird because they're not even posted yet.
Well, listen.
It's kind of weird.
You don't have the secret access that LeVar and I do. But here's the thing. You being in Columbus, I just want to paint a picture for you. So we have got the all-22s on. I know what you're thinking, Brady. Okay, let me guess. You got the all-22s on in what, like three movies? No, it's the all-22s. We've got another camera angle. We've got an Edge NFL matchup. And then Big Noon Kickoff from last week. All on the TVs here inside the studio.
Our imaginations are running so wild this morning. Butterflies in the sky. I can fly twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book.
But let's be honest, though. Greg Zuerlein's probably the reason that the Dallas Cowboys didn't win that game, correct? I mean, if we're gonna blame a kicker or a specialist.
Don't put it on Greg the Leg,
I'm just saying, he had a rough go there. And I know it was humid. I was listening to the call on the radio a little bit, and I heard Kevin Harlan say early in the game that the humidity at Raymond James was at like 87%. So I don't know if that had anything to do with the balls being slick or if maybe that had something to do with Greg Zuerlein missing those kicks. But I know LeVar hates kickers. He hates them.
I think they're people, too. I always say that. Yeah. They matter. They count, especially when they make what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Again, I'll double down and I'll reiterate. You have one thing to do. You have one singular thing to do. When you practice, you know what you do? You practice that. When you watch film, you know what you're watching? Exactly that. There is no variations, okay? The hold could be off. I get it. The set could be off. I get it. You can practice all of those scenarios, wet balls, slick balls, ballity balls, whatever.
Yeah.
You should be able to kick them. And because that's your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. If you say, LeVar, you should be able to tackle him because that's your job.
That actually is true. That's a good comparison.
Right. Like,
you have to tackle in a bunch of different ways, bunch of different angles,
right,
a bunch of different positions.
But it is still my job to tackle. Right. When I go out there, I mean, there are a lot of other variables, of course, that go into that. But at the end of the day, my job is to get the ball carrier down to the ground. If I can't do that, then I shouldn't have a job. So the idea of it is you should make those field goals. That's all I'm saying.
And the extra point.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and then you can be a person.
And the extra point.
Yeah, and
an extra point. And then you can be a person.
And then you can be a person. That's the qualification.
I will give him the 60-yard miss. Like, I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Yes, 100%.
That's fair.
No,
it's a 60-yard field goal. That's a tough one to make.
And didn't he hit a 60-yarder to win the NFC title game against the Saints? I think it was like a 59-yarder in that game.
It was far. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was far.
I think it was.
Which does not matter for this moment.
Well,
but anyway.
But again, it was
he
flexing
the
my memory from that game because I had money on the Rams.
Right.
That's all
that's
it was.
Right. That and all 22s.
Yeah, just bring it up.
He did miss an easy chip shot field goal. There's no problem with the snap, no problem with the hold. He just shanked it. Like, that was as bad as it gets. But, again, he covered. Like, he helped that team cover when it comes down to it. So you can't be that upset. I don't know how many people picked Dallas to win outright. I think you were either picking them to, you know, come close and cover, or you're on the Bucs side of this one. I'm still mad at Godwin. Like, that play.
He jacked up the whole game.
He jacked up the entire
game.
And any chance of the Bucs covering went out the window with a little less than 5 minutes to go and that fumble.
You know, it's crazy. Oh. He's a Penn Stater. So I'm sitting there like, we went from scoring going to a two possession game like I predicted. And he fumbled.
And also, you should have a problem, LeVar, with Chris Collinsworth, because he was making it a point a couple of times to show how Micah Parsons got a little bit played by Tom Brady during that game.
On the coverage and stuff like that.
Collinsworth was taking a couple of shots at you there.
You know what was weird about Collinsworth last night is how, like, he was on a mission. Like, somebody paid him to tell the world how smart Gronkowski is.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, oh, that wasn't just an athletic play. That was the smartest play. Did I tell you that Rob Gronkowski is smart?
He's trying to change
the my gosh. Yes. He is not a meathead. He is smart. He's super smart. Smart.
It's a good thing we've got Chris Collinsworth here with us right now.
Yeah, we do.
Right.
Sure you know Chris. Yeah, come on. Chris. Hey, Chris. Chris. I know you're looking over Al's gambling ticket. That's fine. Yeah, get in here in a second. All right, so Chris Collinsworth is joining us here right now on Fox Sports Radio. Let's hold on a second.
Oh, where's he at? Oh, he's actually here.
Now. Oh, what's up, Chris?
Oh, he's actually here.
I mean, I got to tell you, watching that game last night, I mean, I'm watching Micah Parsons, and I mean, he's got to be thinking to himself, golly, this isn't the Big Ten and the seven-game schedule I was in last week. You've got Rob Gronkowski, who's basically a dump truck with Don Joyce and elbow braces on, and he's dictating the read, dictating the coverage, and making plays. And to think he was this close to retiring, I mean, Al, I wouldn't even consider retiring playing like this. Golly.
Hell no.
Thank you, Chris.
Hell no.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate your effort here joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
That was Chris Rollinsworth?
Rollinsworth, yes. Rhys Rollinsworth. But it is a there's a lot of ways to take that joke. By the way, I believe the Charger security guard is Rhys Rollinsworth. For those of you that are paying attention out there.
Pocket pool Rollinsworth.
It is Outkick the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here.
This is Outkick the coverage.
So I don't know what you guys expected from Dak Prescott last night, but I will call myself out. I would like to call myself out on something. I really went hard in the paint on, hey, man, the fact that he hasn't practiced and he hasn't been part of the preseason, man, they're in trouble, and Dak Prescott's in trouble, and the Dallas Cowboys, and, yeah, they may win the East, but they're not going to do much. I thought Dak Prescott was fantastic last night. I was stunned to see how well he played in his first game back from injury, not getting any reps in the preseason, and Dak talked about his performance afterwards.
That's just a credit to all the work that I put in. I think when you invest that much work and rehab and just everything that has gone into the last 11 months for me to get back onto the field, not surprised about the way that I went out there and did things that I normally do 11 months ago. So, no, I feel like I'm a better player than I was when I left the field. And I told y'all that was the expectations I had for myself, and I'll continue to try to get better game in and game out.
He was awesome, man. Awesome. Brady, as a quarterback, all right, so let's go ahead and pick your brain on this. As a quarterback, what do we make of Dak Prescott version 2.0 last night after getting paid?
The paid part, I don't know that it's going to factor in a guy like his mind. I really don't. I mean, for starters, he made a good amount last year, you know, playing under the franchise tag for like a one-year deal. But now that he's got that long-term security, if you will, I think it almost made me feel like he was out there playing loose, playing free. Like he doesn't have to worry about anything anymore, which is a great place to be in. Because when you play, when you're in that situation, you can kind of not play careless, but play more carefree. I think a lot of times there's two reasons quarterbacks make mistakes at the NFL level. I guess even college level for that matter, but more NFL level for this reason, because you're getting paid. It's either out of pressure from the fact that they feel the pressure of wanting to be the guy, trying to be the guy, and they feel the pressure of the circumstances of the game in doing that, and it doesn't work out. Or, you know, you're looking at a guy who's just trying to do anything he can to get paid. And so he's playing more careless out there. And that those two things usually, if you factor in the money stuff off the field, play into that a little bit. But he looked like a guy who had, you know, as he has said, you know, rehabbed hard, prepared himself, prepared his body. I think everything the Dallas Cowboys were telling us coming out of training camp was probably true. We didn't want to buy into it. We tried to make it more than it was. But the truth of the matter is this offense is going to be dynamic. I mean, he threw for over 400 yards And that's on pace with what he was doing last year he left. Yeah. And they're going to LeVar because they've got Amari Cooper. They've got CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. And Dalton Schultz can factor in. And the running backs, whether it's Pollard or Zeke, those guys can catch. And Cedric Wilson isn't bad. Like, they've got a nice group or a nice supporting cast. And Kellen Moore, I don't know why this guy doesn't get pitched around for like that, one of those hot, young, new head coaches. Mm. You know, I don't know if he doesn't want it, if he feels like he's not there. Maybe some people look at him, maybe he doesn't feel like he has the personality yet. But all I know is the kid won games he was at Boise State. Chris Peterson raves about him. He's gotten to the NFL, and he's had Dak Prescott on a trajectory that we've never seen before as a starting quarterback throwing the football. And I know they lost, so maybe that none of that matters. But that's a name, too, to keep an eye on after the season is done if the Cowboys end up winning the NFC East like I think they're going to and go in the playoffs.
You know, one of the things that I paid attention to was how are they going to handle not having Zach Martin in there at guard? How are they going to protect? And how much time was Dak going to have? And then I guess added to that, would Dak be able to move off of his mark and be confident enough to do what was necessary in those moments? So, listen, I don't know what the future holds for Dak's health. You can come into one game after taking as much time off as he did and look good. You know, it's obviously a long season, so we're going to have to see how durable and how much, you know, his body's going to be able to handle moving forward. But if that's the first test and that's the only thing that you can measure what's taking place, I saw an offensive line that stood up to the challenge of what an amazing defensive front and defense was bringing to the table. They competed. They opened up small run lanes for the running game to get some things done. They opened it up for even Dak to hold the ball and run the ball to keep the defense honest during the course of the game. And it paid dividends in the passing game. It gave them the spaces that they needed. It gave them opportunities that probably would not have been there had that offensive line not been able to establish you have to respect what's going on in the trenches and what may happen in the run. So looking at how Dak played, a lot of that had to do with how that offensive front was able to handle the pressure that was coming from Tampa Bay. Like, they got there a few times and they rushed them a few times. But if you're looking at moving forward, what this offensive front is going to have to do in order to allow for Dak to be able to be Dak in the games, you'd have to say that was the most encouraging thing coming out of that game, is that you don't have to look at that performance as a fluky performance. In fact, you could probably think that it's going to get better because Zeke did not have a great game yesterday. I mean, he was effective in blocking, taking on the extra blitzer. He did some really, really good things to really keep the defense on. It's good, hard runs. Same with Pollard. You know, it wasn't very much space, but they were grinding it out. So when I look – and then CeeDee Lamb, I mean, did he have a coming-out party? I mean, we've been saying that he's going to be the guy. He had a coming-out party. But all of those elements – will make it so much better for Dak Prescott and his performances, and to know that there's you can actually assume that there will be a level of consistency by the way that offensive front handled things. So yeah, I think that's pretty encouraging.
And also encouraging, they don't have to play Vita Vea again. That's all should also be encouraging.
That's a grown man.
That guy is a monster. Jesus,
that's a bull.
Good God, man.
He is a bull.
Well, and by the way, on the flip side, you do have to admit too, like the protection we saw for Tampa Bay, it improved last year as they played more games.
It was good. It was good last night.
It was good, man. Yeah. Like, if I'm Tom Brady and I'm 44 years old, which I can't get over it. He's 44, man. He looks amazing out there. Like, how he moves, his accuracy, the zip on the football. I know at one point, too, they showed just his release time, which, you know, it's a little bit flawed, right? I think he's got, like, a .35 on average, but, like, a .33 that's the amount of time, basically a third of a second he can release the football, which is going to change depending on how short, and everything else as far as how fast he's going to get the ball out. But nevertheless, he hasn't lost a step. Like, that's more of the key is this guy's been playing forever. and he's not lost a step. It's incredible. It really is incredible when you think about how good Tampa Bay looked last night. They get the win, the two-minute drive, all of it. But the fact that he's doing it at 44.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. He's got 300 regular season starts. Like, the whole thing is absurd. Like, he should look like Father Time out there with, like, like Moses, with, like, a long white beard or gray beard.
Like Moses.
But he's just crushing it out there at 44 years old. I actually do believe, I don't know when he's going to choose to hang it up, but I think because of where he's at in Tampa, and I firmly believe this, Larry Fitzgerald said this to me, like, he really did believe that Arizona and staying in Arizona attributed a lot to him being able to play as long as he has as a wide receiver. I think Tom Brady might be able to eke out more years, or maybe a year or two more than he would have if he was just playing in New England.
Okay.
It's not a knock at the Northeast. It's just there's something about it, man. There's something about how he looks now being down there in Tampa, no knee brace, none of that.
So here, I'll ask you this, because I was thinking about this last night watching the game.
Yeah, we're sure.
If you didn't know, if you didn't know his age, would you even be asking the question, when is he going to retire? Like, if you didn't know that he was 44 years old, would that even be a question based on how he looked? Because I wouldn't even be asking
you're
the question.
Debating,
point,
you're debating if he's a better football player at this point than what he was when he was younger.
Like, how many quarterbacks are better than him right now in the NFL?
After last night, I mean, you could say they're on par. You could say they're on par. The way he operated, you could say some guys are on par with what he is.
I think you've got Mahomes, you've got Rodgers, and that's where it stops.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, that's where it stops.
So he's 44, and he's still a top three quarterback in the NFL? That's insane.
But if he plays like he played last night, you're putting them in the same conversation. That's how well he played last night. His accuracy, his command of the offense, he was dialed in. Like, he made the big plays on third downs. I mean, he delivered balls that were, I mean, only his receivers could get them.
Well, and you know what's crazy about it, too, is Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, when he signed there, he got them to go there. It wasn't the other way around. They weren't already there. He got the Bucs to sign those two. And look at how it's still paying off dividends.
Antonio Brown was unbelievable last night.
He was torching the boys.
He looks awesome.
Yeah.
He looked awesome. And then Gronkowski looks like – this is Rob Gronkowski, who a couple of years ago was emotionally crying about how much pain he was in after leaving New England. And he talked about how
Tampa Bay is doing his body good, too.
He talked about how he had a dent in his quad because of a hit in the Super Bowl.
There's something about that humid air, the warmth. I wake up when I walk the dog in the mornings. Like, I feel awful getting out of bed. My foot, my Achilles right now, my back. You start walking a little bit, that humidity, that heat starts to warm you up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, man.
Yeah, natural,
that's why we got
that
all those
natural
old folks
oil
down there.
Yeah.
Yes.
That natural oil,
lubricant.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
KY jelly.
I always love that.
That's very good. Yeah, very good.
Some Tampa Bay jelly.
Yeah. some TB&J. Little TB&J.
There you go.
Fair enough. Here he is, folks. The face of Big New Kickoff with a KY joke to open up a Friday.
I'll give it all credit to LeVar.
That's horrible, Brady. No, it was all you.
Unbelievable.
No.
Yeah.
How could you? A couple of class acts. By the way, we are brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. You talk about some terrible luck in the NFL. We are going to get into that coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio. But ladies and gentlemen, for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's the most violent man and most colorful man in sports talk radio, the one and only Ralph Ervin.
Well, thank you very much, Jonas. And there's one thing that you also get with the start of the NFL season. NFL play-by-play.
Second and goal from the 2-yard line. Snap. Bootleg roll by Brady. Rolling Brady. Throws it. He's caught. Ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Holy guacamole. Gronkowski spikes it. Fire the cannons. Bucks lead 13-7.
Fire those cannons. Holy tuckamole. Whatever the heck that is on 98 Rock.
Gene Deckeroff.
And the Buccaneers Radio Network. But, yeah.
By the way, you want to hear my Gene Dekaroff story?
Yeah, mine's better.
Okay. Well, all right, well, you do yours first.
No, nope, and mine's not for the air.
Okay. Gene Dekaroff story. We were doing an interview with him while I was in Charleston, South Carolina. And then in the middle of the interview, he said, well, hey, guys, they're bringing a couch in. I got to go. And he just hung up. Like he was having a couch delivered to the house and hung up mid-interview. And I looked at my co-host, Tony Desiri, and I'm like, did that happen? Like, what happened there?
That's allowable, right? Like, that's permitted. I mean, if you're going to couch deliver.
That's kind of funny.
You got to get off the phone.
That's kind of funny.
The guy gets a couch delivered, he cuts an interview off.
I'm just saying, like, that's under that category of, yeah, you got to get off the phone. You got to get off the interview.
Well, listen,
I got to go. I got to go. Yeah. I got to go. They're at the door.
That's a big deal.
They're ringing. You don't want to miss them bringing your couch in, because what happens is they either take it back, and then now you got to pay for the re-delivery.
And think about
it. Or they just leave it there. Or they just leave it there, Brady, and now you're left by yourself to try to bring it in all by yourself.
Yeah, defend Gene Dekaroff. Yeah. All right.
He had to hang up.
Whatever.
I will defend Gene Dekaroff. 31-29, the Bucks beat Dallas. Tom Brady, 380 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Dak Prescott, 403 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. How about this, guys? An NFL record in the 74 completions between the two quarterbacks. That's the most in a single NFL game. Now I set it back. It's Jonas, Brady, LeVar. Gentlemen, back to you.
Thank you, Ralph Ervin. It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. So coming up in, we'll call it about 10 minutes from now, there is a just awful luck in the NFL that we want to get to. And so I want to make sure we have full time for that. But I do want to ask you guys a question, being a former NFL players. If you play your first game of the season and you've had, you know, a little bit of some action in the preseason, but not a whole lot.
What does that mean?
Okay, but it's been action on the field.
Oh,
it's been a while since you've played an actual NFL game.
Okay.
How sore are these guys this morning? Waking up after that game last night, LeVar.
Like, sore.
What are we talking about here? Give me on a scale of 1 to 10. Give me a scale of 1 to 10 soreness.
It depends on who you are, because if you're more running, you know, like a corner or a receiver, you're sore and you're fatigued from all of the body movements connected to what that skill set calls for. If you're in the trenches, you're super sore and fatigue from all of the hand-to-hand combat and all of just the assaulting that's going on within the trenches. So that's a different type of sores. Like, you've been bench pressing like all night long. You've been getting hit with baseball bats, and that's the truth. I mean, think about it. Like, you're getting clubbed.
I know, it's
crazy. You're getting punched. Like, you know, you punch the wrist, you punch the arms, you're getting punched in your chest. What is it, about 90 reps a game? What do you think it comes down out to, Brady, on average? Something like, 75 to 90 reps a game?
It's probably, it depends, right? Like, I think on average it used to be about 60, 65 plays. It could be a little more than that. And it depends how much special teams you're playing, right?
Yeah, so, and special teams.
A lot of defensive players play special teams too. So, yeah, it might be around that number.
So, anyways, even if you said 70 times of just
– good God, man.
Going at it.
Getting hit with a club while you're doing
all,
bench press.
Like, all out for three seconds or so. Like, it's just it's interesting how sore your body – like, you know what else is super interesting? The muscle aches and pains from a game are tolerable. It's like the brush burns and stuff like that aren't. It's like or it's that one spot where you got kicked or you got a helmet and your spouse or your partner, whatever, wherever you were at that point in your life, right?
Yeah.
Where you hung out with somebody, they could always find that spot on your body. Like, the pain of when somebody touches a really, really, like, bad, like, scrape or bruise or something like that, that's the worst. That was the worst for me, at least. I ain't like that at all.
Yeah.
How do you identify, like, it's on the back of my leg, behind my knee, and how is it that you, like, out of all places that you could maneuver and touch and hit It's that area.
It's a magnet.
I don't get it.
It's a magnet.
Every time, though.
I don't know. I mean, these guys waking up this morning have got to be just – they got to feel brutal. And
it doesn't feel good.
And also, it gets worse the next day after, right? I've always found that when working out. The next day after is worse.
I was going to ask LeVar, because usually, like, the common thought used to be – the old schedule used to be you come in the day after the game – and you get your lift in, you go in like the whirlpool, you do a little rehab, whatever that is, you watch film together, and then the following day after that would be your off day. But a lot of teams switched up.
Yeah.
And they started taking the off day the day after the game. And so guys could sleep in, get more rest. I actually like the old schedule, because I always felt so sore that like I needed to lift, I needed to get in there as early as possible to start to work out some of that. Because that's the thing is, so for guys in the trenches, they're in a dogfight for 7 seconds, you know, however many times a game, right? 70-plus times a game. For DBs, guys like that, they're running. It's their feet, ankles, whatever the case may be. Maybe their shoulders from hitting. For quarterbacks, you know, you're not doing as much physical stuff, but the problem is you're a pinata, all right? So imagine being a pinata, and there's always those pinatas that you, like, can't break open, and you eventually have to, like, just rip it down and open it up yourself. Like, that's what we are. We're the pinata that couldn't break open that someone had to rip down and rip open eventually.
Jeez.
Like, we're just back there taking shots, okay? And we really can't protect ourselves. So that's more of the soreness that we face. But I always like to get in there right after and trying to work out some of that stuff.
By the way, little pinata tip. If you get a pinata stick, I was at a baptism party not that long ago. If you get a pinata stick, sometimes they're not the most trusty in the world. So I went and bought two yellow wiffle ball bats, got the job done. Might as well have been chainsaws. Mm. I mean, these kids were knifing through pinatas, getting all sorts of good
stuff
there.
With the wiffle ball bat.
Yeah, the yellow one. Yeah. You know that little yellow
one. Because the red one is the one I like.
Yeah, the big one.
Couldn't miss. Yeah,
oh,
I couldn't
yeah.
miss.
Oh, yeah.
And they were really good for sibling rivalry
yes,
fights.
Yes, because they didn't hurt that bad. And
but you could hit them hard.
Yes, and they were loud.
Enough.
And they were loud.
Yeah.
Same thing, the top of those Christmas popcorn tins, those three-flavored caramel regular cheese popcorn, you bang somebody over the top of the head with that, it's really loud, almost like a steel folding chair in wrestling.
Interesting.
So, a little bit about child violence there on a Friday morning.
Interesting.
That was all LeVar, by the way.
You went down a very dark road there. Just, a very dark path in your life.
Just
we're going to have to talk about this on air, off
saying.
Air.
Yeah. All right. It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Man. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox of the here on FSR. Coming up next, you talk about
questions.
Bad luck. Bad luck in the NFL. We'll get to that next here. And it could have been avoided had somebody on this show done something different. We'll have that for you here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, there was a big takeaway from the game last night. Maybe not to worry moving forward for one team that participated in the opener for the NFL season. We'll get to that here again, top of next hour on Fox Sports Radio. So I don't know that I've ever seen this happen, or and you guys would know better than me, obviously, playing, but the Baltimore Ravens have had just an awful string of luck over the past couple of weeks when it comes to the running back position. J.K. Dobbins, he's out for the year. Justice Hill was out for the year. So the thought was all of the workload will go to Gus Edwards and company, but Gus Edwards is going to be the lead back and their third back to be the starter. And here we go. Gus Edwards suffers an injury in practice yesterday. Now the Ravens have had to go out and sign because they think Edwards is going to be out for the year as well, too. Le'Veon Bell is now a member of the roster. There's some reports out that Latavius Murray, who was recently released by the Saints, that he's going to be a member of the Baltimore Ravens. And on top of that, Marcus Peters suffered a torn ACL in the same practice yesterday, and the Baltimore Ravens decided, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and stop practice. Just an awful, awful bit of luck for the Baltimore Ravens, who LeVar and I picked to win the Super Bowl yesterday. Nice.
I'm not falling all the way out on it. Honestly, did you mention Dante Freeman as well, that they're bringing him in as well?
Devonta Freeman?
It's unfortunate that this string of injuries has happened the way that it's happened. They're going to have to figure out how to replace that production in the backfield. But teams like that, it's crippling to have those type of injuries. But you just get the feeling that they'll find a way to still be able to win. I mean, if Lamar Jackson goes down, that's different.
Right.
You know, but I don't want to diminish or minimize any of the guys that you named. But when it's not the key piece, you have a better chance, a better opportunity, especially when you're a well-ran team, to be able to get through those. So I'm not going to panic about my pick. I still think that they'll be competitive. It just makes it much more complicated, much more complex for them to be able to navigate.
No, it's a great point. This team is about Lamar. And it's nothing to take away from defensively. I mean, I think the loss of Peters is probably bigger than anyone running back.
Yeah, agree.
But to LeVar's point, it is really about LeVar.
Lamar.
LeVar is the guy that can kind of uplift this team and make everyone else out around him.
He's just that
kind of quarterback. He's not reliant on them quite as much as they are on him. So I think that always stands to be out there. The interesting thing, though, is I don't know that we've ever seen it this decorated of what would be a practice squad of running backs between Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell. If they sign Latavius Murray, which they should do, I think he was coming off a career year for Murray, at least in regards to yards per attempt last season with the Saints. And, you know, they asked him to restructure, probably take a little bit of a pay cut, which I wouldn't either, you know, especially if you were feeling good about what you were able to do in that system last year. And in part because there's injuries like this that happen, and now your services are needed. So the Baltimore Ravens, I think they still feel like they're in a window to succeed, to maybe, you know, go to a Super Bowl like you guys had predicted. I think you sign them all. Like, literally, bring them all in there. See what you can do with these three backs. I think they'll have plenty in order to be able to get it done. It's just getting those guys up to speed, really, with the ball handling, especially when there's, you know, any sort of read or an option into it. That's going to be the biggest thing for those guys. Pass protection, and then a lot of those plays that really take chemistry between those guys.
And there's already starting to be the – look, when the Chargers have all the injuries they've had
– Don't say it, Jonas.
No, I'm just saying there are people out there that are now questioning the training staff. All right, well, what's going on there in Baltimore that they're having this much, you know, quote-unquote bad luck? And then you got other people that are saying, well, they wanted to go for it and win all these preseason games and set the record.
No one's saying that.
I swear to you, that's the truth.
That
is out there. I'm not making
that
up.
I'm not making that up.
That's not true at all. I'm just saying, how about the fact that it's just bad luck?
Gosh.
Like, maybe it's just bad luck. And a couple of guys were on the field, and it just coincidentally, they ended up, you know, suffering season-ending injuries on back-to-back plays. I mean, John Harbaugh. We ruined them, LeVar.
Oh,
okay.
Man. Here we go.
We ruined them. And I got news for you.
All right.
I got news for you. I was not going to call out Brady Quinn for calling Lamar Jackson LeVar, but LeVar wanted to.
It's the first time it's ever happened.
Okay, but
I'm always LeVar. I'm always Lamar. It is the funniest phenomenon.
I'm saying, did I say LeVar?
Yeah, you said LeVar instead of Lamar.
It's a Freudian slip, man. I got LeVar on my mind. What can I say?
But it happened.
It's kind of like LeVar and Prince. It was like
you're the first one to ever do LeVar versus Lamar. Yeah. It's always Lamar over LeVar.
That's all right. My last name's Knox. Yeah, but you can imagine what Brady calls me.
You stupid.
You know, it happens.